Here's Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. What do you make of this deal? Bo Horvat on his way to the Islanders.
Well, pretty big move, I'd say, especially in a season where we haven't seen much movement whatsoever. And you know, the fact that it comes down now, you know, quite a ways out from the deadline, and that the return isn't overwhelming, I think is, you know, maybe a small surprise. Although, you know, I was just texting with someone who works in another front office, and he said there's concern with the year Horvat's having that, you know, the cost of keeping him is going to be quite high. And so a lot of teams, I think, that were involved in discussions with the Canucks were probably nervous that they might get to a situation where they couldn't extend him. And when you're trading for a rental, the price isn't you know, going to be as high as a player with some term.
So what do we know about, do we know any details, CJ, like possibly re-signing? Or what do you think the feedback or the blowback's going to be on the return that Dan is getting here?
I don't know where the blowback will be. I mean, it's not an awful return. I just think that it doesn't knock your socks off. You know, there's some good things that can happen. I mean, that first round pick for 2023 is protected if it falls in the top 12. But in the event, you know, that happened, if the Islanders got into the playoffs after Horvat rejoins them, and you know, the pick is falls back, and then the pick's pretty high, then next year's would be unprotected, which, you know, could be a good situation for Vancouver. I think Beauvillier, you know, is a piece that, you know, they can see how he fits their lineup. He's got one more year after this one on his contract. You know, perhaps he's someone else that they're shipping out at a future time. And then obviously they got a younger centerman in Ratu. You know, and then that was kind of more of what they prioritized in the deal, is trying to get, I think, a player rather than a whole collection of picks, you know, someone that you know, might reasonably be a Canuck in the nearest future.
Do you think now we'll start to see some chips fall? I mean, CJ, now we've been talking, I've been harassing you every week you come on. I'm saying, you know, is any chatter coming? And do you think something will get rolling? Now there's a marketplace for probably, I don't know if he was number one on your list, but he was quite high up on there as far as guys being available. Do you think now we'll start to see some teams start to jockey and move here a little bit?
There could be a little bit of that. I think, too, in Vancouver, they decided as they got into their bye week, you know, all-star break, that this was something they wanted to not have drag on any further. You know, I wonder with some of the other players that they're looking to trade, if we see them in particular move. And you know, maybe this is an also will be part of the rundown effect of how the market takes shape, is that this wasn't a crazy haul for Bo Horvat. And so, you know, perhaps that does set a market that's you know, a little bit more in the buyer's favor. And I think that if that happens, then we will see more action, because, you know, it seems to me that this is shaping up as a buyer's market. There's, you know, there's quite a number of big name players, big resume players, you know, that we know are available. And there's only so many teams that are shopping for them, especially with cap space as it is. So, you know, I'm not sure we'll see a flurry of moves in the next few days, but you know, maybe this does loosen things up a little bit, you know, with what has been a jammed up market.
So Bo Horvat on his way from the Canucks to the Islanders for a prospect, a player, and a protected first round pick. And I have an appreciation for that detail, CJ, that the Islanders, who are on the outside looking in, have the presence of mind to protect the pick. I've always been frustrated on why NHL teams haven't done that more in the past. Do you think this could be a one-off, or is this a sign that Lou is representing the other GMs and saying, we got to protect ourselves, man. We can't just be handing out future first, knowing that it could turn into a disaster at the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll see very many unprotected picks traded ever moving forward. I mean, there might be the odd case if we see a bona fide superstar, you know, some kind of crazy trade at some point in time. But in general, I think that you're always going to see teams push for that protection, just because it can blow up your face, right? It happened with Ottawa and the Matthew Shane deal, and ended up being a pretty high pick for Colorado. It went the other way on the Carlson deal from San Jose to Ottawa, and you know, Ottawa ended up getting a really high pick out of that deal. And you know, right now this year, I mean, the Florida Panthers are well outside the playoffs as we're talking now, and Montreal owns their first round pick unprotected. And so there's a world where that could end up being even the number one overall pick. It's maybe not likely, but I just think it's too risky with the way the draft lottery works to not protect them. And, you know, but where it gets interesting is that if that ends up saying being the 12th overall pick this year, then next year it is unprotected. So you can only do it to such a degree.
Yeah, it's, I mean, again, I think it's smart. In the NBA, you see it all the time. You see scenarios where it's like lottery protected, then top 10 protected, then top 5 protected, then first overall protected. Like, it can roll over 4 or 5 years, and I would suggest NHL teams should start doing that. But what does this tell you about Lou Lamoriello down on the island? Because I can't imagine if he pulls this trade off, Horvat walks as a free agent, and they miss the playoffs. How does Lou possibly explain that to ownership? How does he stick around down there?
Well, I've got no confirmation either way, but I have to believe he's making a push to sign Horvat as part of this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's probably not done in the drawer. You know, as what we had heard as of even a couple days ago is that Vancouver wasn't allowing teams to make those kind of negotiations with Horvat's agent. And so, you know, now might be the period that the Islanders have just got his rights where they see if there's a deal to be made there. But I would think there's going to be at least some kind of push to try to sign him. But, you know, Lou Lamoriello has been under fire. I mean, you know, he's having people chant for his job locally. You know, the team really has stopped scoring. You know, obviously one thing that stands out of Borja that season is that he's already at his career high in goals, or matched it at 31, with, you know, still 30-odd games to play in this season. So, you know, he should, you would think, help them offensively. And they're a pretty deep team down the middle. You know, when you look at Barzal and Nelson and Pageau, and now Horvat, presuming that he'll be a center for them. I mean, this could be, give them enough of a push to get back in it, but they're 10th in the conference in points percentage right now, and you know, have been sliding in the wrong direction. So I think it's a bold move by Lou, given where his team has been at, given how much unrest I'd say there is in a pretty passionate fan base there on Long Island with his lack of moves in the summer and not making a big swing. Well, you know, he's come out and, you know, been the first GM really to get anything big done this entire season when it comes to that player acquisition.
You think, CJ, anything happens after this? The other GMs say, okay, the party started, let's get involved here and get going, or no?
Well, if they're fans of this show, they would be. Because,
exactly. You
know, every Monday when we chat, I know that there's a lot of clamoring for it, and I'm sure there is the rest of the week too. You know, I think it's still a little far out for all kinds of action, but, you know, a few other things might shake loose here. You know, I'd heard Detroit was in pretty heavily on Horvat. You know, we'll see what they do. They're kind of they're an interesting team in a sense, like the Islanders are out of the playoff picture, but they have a lot of free agents. I mean, they can go in a few different directions as we approach this deadline, and do have a bit of cap space to do some things. So, you know, we might see a few other deals fall out from this one, but, you know, let's book off February, you know, 28th, March 1st, March 2nd, March 3rd, because that's when most of the action will be.
We had a spirited debate with Ryan Callahan in the last hour about Edmonton putting in the e-bug for the last 2 minutes or two and change against the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, where did you stand on that? Did you feel like it was a good feel, you know, good story, good feel-good story, or was it a slight on the Blackhawks organization?
Well, you know, I'm a journalist, so I don't come at this as a former player the way, you know, you and O-Dog would, and even Hazy there.
Yeah, thank you.
You know,
I didn't have to say the last part.
I know, but I look at it as I like the story. You know, it's pretty cool for Matt Berlin to go in there. You know, this guy did play in the Western Hockey League. It wasn't like he's, you know, totally off the couch and into the net in an NHL game, but. You know, I could see, I would listen to the counter argument that it's, you know, perhaps disrespectful to the opponent or makes a mockery of the game. But, you know, I get all excited for stories and feel good stuff. And so I viewed it in the moment, quite honestly, as kind of a feel good moment for this guy. And he's getting interviewed on Hockey Night in Canada and all that stuff. I mean, but, you know, I can understand the player's view if you think it's maybe a little offside.
What is your understanding of this Matt Murray situation, CJ? Like the injury, how much the Leafs knew about it prior to Friday night, and where it goes from here?
Well, you know, it's something he's been managing, and so, you know, they didn't have any reason to think he wouldn't be starting the game on Friday. You know, obviously with him being set to be the starter in that game, and, you know, it's ultimately, you know, his discomfort that pulled him from that start. You know, he went out for warm-ups and didn't feel right, and then, you know, reported that to the team. I don't have any explicit clarity on what kind of, you know, layoff we're looking at here, how severe it is. I don't think it's anything serious, but, you know, you have to have some pause, right? I mean, it's as much as it's great that Ilya Samsonov has put up the numbers he has to this point in the season, and I think given the Leafs some stability at that position, I mean, Matt Murray we all kind of assumed would be, you know, the logging more of the starts, would be the playoff starter most likely. And, you know, I think you really have to question that now, because it's yet another year where, you know, it's a whole series of different injuries too. It's not like he has one specific area that's, you know, knocked him from games. This guy's, you know, had all kinds of different issues during his career. And this is a new one too, that I don't recall ever hearing be associated with him in the past. So I think that there has to be a little bit of bigger picture concern just about, you know, how durable he's going to be able to be and how much they're going to be able to rely on him. But, you know, it doesn't sound like there's a tremendous amount of concern about the specifics of this latest ailment.
We were talking about it earlier too, Chris. Does that make Kyle and his management team at least sniff around at the deadline for potentially another guy that has NHL experience? May not have to be a marquee guy, but somebody that can help if there is a depth issue or experience issue, if Matt Murray's not available to you, or one of these guys are not available because of an injury. And I know that's easy. You know, Winnipeg, a lot of teams would be messed if they lost their starting goaltender. But this is a unique situation based on what you just laid out, what we've been talking about with Matt Murray's struggle to stay healthy in the last couple years.
Well, at this point, I would be surprised if they went and made a deal for another goaltender. You know, it's not to say it won't happen. I mean, we still get months more of knowledge, and you know, maybe this really lingers with Murray and he's not able to play, and that becomes more of the direction they go in. But, you know, I think they're kind of tied to this. You know, they've had, you know, a couple guys in the American Hockey League play well. I know no one would be too confident or excited about seeing one of the AHL goalies have to play in the playoffs, but, you know, reasonably, how good is any team's number three? I mean, Carolina's the only one off the top of my head this year. They've had three guys that at various points have all played well. But you know, by and large, when you get to your number three, you're on shaky ground. So, you know, assuming Matt Murray can get back, you know, on the reasonable time frame on the other side of the All-Star break, I still think they'll go ahead with these two. But, you know, if he's unable to play and if there becomes greater concern, I think maybe then you start looking at what else might be out there. But the truth is, you know, if you look at the pending unrestricted free agents and some of the players we think might be available, I mean, there's not a whole lot at that position that you know, I think would give you a lot of confidence either.
All right, CJ, we'll leave it there, buddy. We always appreciate you taking time for us. We'll do it again soon.
All right, be well, guys.
Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. Yeah, I mean, listen, when the goaltending maneuvers in the offseason, the Matt Murray deal drew the largest response, the loudest response, the most emotional.
Makes a lot of money.
Response makes a lot of money on term for another year, $4.7 million. The Samsonov deal, though, that was a lot quieter, right? It was, oh, that's a good, okay, yeah, bring him in. So, listen, he's been outstanding. Well, like Murray, it's played out in large way, in the way that most people expected it would. Injuries, in and out, good when ready to play.
Yeah, when he plays, he's played pretty well. Like,
played well.
Getting pulled in his last game, he's
played
well. Pretty rock solid.
Yes, and people believe, myself included, behind this Leaf team, you're going to play well.
Right.
Your stats are going to get bolstered.
Yep.
You're going to win games. Your confidence should grow. But the Murray roller coaster has been largely predictable.
And now it's at the point where it's like, when are we going to see him again?
And nobody knows. And I'm not sure the Leafs do. I would guess the Leafs don't have a clue. And that doesn't mean they haven't circled the date. Like, I'm sure they're thinking, as of now, February 11th, we come home, you play that game. But I don't think they would be surprised at all if he wasn't playing in that game.
Well,
but Samsonov has been great.
Yeah, it can't be comforting to say, we don't know when we're going to see this guy again, and we don't know what we're going to get.
But injured players, this is... If you're injured and you have a bye week, I think you still have to stay and do treatment, do you not? Like, depending on the injury.
I'm not sure. So is Matthews just hanging around Toronto for the next 2 weeks?
Either that or he gets treatment in Arizona or Florida, wherever he goes. But you don't just pack it up and say, I'll see you in a week and we'll deal with, you know, like, treatment of that injury.
Yeah.
Like, if you're injured, you need
stuff.
You
gotta
treatment
rehab.
Every day. You rehab. Unless it's a timeline laid out by the doctor going, you need R&R for the next 2 weeks. Don't even look at a gym. Don't even do this.
Which is like, highly unlikely.
Nowadays,
unusual.
That's what I'm saying. So Matt Murray, I kind of disagree with they don't know. They know exactly because they're on top of it every day going, we need you in here for treatment at 8 a.m. And we'll see how far this comes. Mm. MRI, CT scans, everything else. Like they get answers immediately. So with Matthews, he might be able to rehab wherever he goes because it's just a scenario. And whether it's 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, like there's some time attached to this. I'm not privy to the injury for Matt Murray.
Well, that is an answer that I don't think anyone has. Like right. They're saying it's been lingering. I don't believe that was public information. And now
still available to play.
But he was a backup. Yeah, he didn't leave the building. Like he was, if Samsonov got hurt, I assume he goes in. Like that's he had to.
He didn't look like he was going in because it was getting peppered and it was getting up to five or six, and it was like, what are you just going to sit there and watch it?
I guess. I mean, they weren't going to pull Samsonov if he was healthy once Murray pulled the pit. But I'm saying if Samsonov got injured,
right, he gets run over by
like Brock Purdy
something.
Had to go in.
Right,
Murray. Even if you got to stand there, you just got to stand there. You got to go back. You got to go in if Samsonov's out.
Right.
I would think. I mean, I'm sure there was an e-bug in the building. I'm guessing there would have been. But, yeah, I mean, obviously they have way more information than the general public. They've got an exact idea of what's going on here. But even if he recovers from this, which you assume he will,
right?
His history over the last 3 years would suggest there's probably something else on the horizon. That's what's concerning.
Well, that's, yeah.
And that's why you got to keep Samsonov healthy, ready to play, feeling confident. He's a young guy. He's a big guy. He wants to play.
Right.
And he's looked good. Like, that's what saves this from being some big, you know, catastrophe or panic button being hammered is Samsonov rolling.
If neither one of them were playing well, and it was, what, 2 weeks ago that we were having this conversation? They were in that 10-game stretch where their even strength save percentage was, like, last in the league?
Yeah.
That was all we were talking about.
That's panic-inducing.
But we were talking about that
absolutely
3 weeks ago.
And now Samsonov has rectified that issue.
He's rectified
that. And he's looked great.
Yeah.
He's looked great. All right, we got Max Homa coming up. Did the video get to him? I don't know if he's going to want to break down my golf swing.
Well, he's going to want to be nice. What if he was like, this is just terrible?
I think he'd be 100%
honest.
You think
he'd be honest?
Listen, it's not a great swing. I'm a 5.2 low index.
That number changes. I thought it was 5.
I'm a little concerned myself because the latest report I got back was I'm still on the course.
Okay, well, we'll see if we can get him.
I don't know if it's code for don't even think about it or...
Okay, we'll see what happens, all right? Yeah. Hopefully, if he answers, he answers. If he doesn't, he doesn't. If he does and he's seen the video and he wants to critique the video... So be it. It's the first tee at St. George's, buttercut down the middle.
Actually, we could break it down.
Yeah,
if you want to play it?
No one wants
to. Bridge.
I mean,
it's either Max or nobody. Because maybe we'll pop it up there.
We'll see what happens.
Come on.
There,
right? If he doesn't come on, we'll pop it.
It's all good. Our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Still to come, Max Homa. We cannot confirm and deny.
Maybe
may be coming on. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.